everyone. Thank you so much for joining me on Hashtag No Limits today. I am your host, Shelley Kino, and Hashtag No Limits is about people who society has placed limits upon, but who are busting through those limits. Ophelia says in Hamlet, we know who we are, but not who we will be. And I believe that to be 100% true, and that there is no better example than the caterpillar turning into the butterfly. Now, for those who may not know, the caterpillar literally has to dissolve into its cells, then it reforms into the butterfly, and that's not enough. It's not finished struggling. It has to fight in order for its wings to be strong enough to fly, in order for it to get out of the cocoon and do what it needs to do and fly where it needs to fly. And sorry, I just got distracted because my Facebook feed is saying that it's not working, and I'm not happy about that. So I'm not sure why that's going on. But anyway, back to the show. Today, I'm really excited because I have known about John's crazy socks for several years, and I am very happy to have them on as my guests. So, Mark and John, thank you so much for being here. How are you today?
I'm very well, Joe and Shelby. I'll be excited to be on your podcast.
Thank you for having us on.
Thank you, John. I appreciate it. Yeah, so tell us who you are, for people who don't know who you are. Tell us about you and how John's Crazy Socks came to be.
I will
introduce us, buddy.
My name is John. This is my dad, Mark. We are John Crazy Socks. And our mission is spreading happiness.
Spreading happiness. We are a business, a slightly different type of business model. We're a social enterprise. So we have both a social and a business purpose, and they feed off of each other.
Okay.
You want to tell them how we got started?
Yes.
You like that story?
Yes, I do.
So you have to go back to the fall of 2016.
Okay.
And our story starts in a small log cabin in the woods.
No.
It starts here on suburban Long Island in a town called Huntington. And where were you?
I was at Huntington High School. I'll go be my last year's school.
Okay, Huntington High School.
You know the deal. You can stay in school until you graduate or turn 21. John was heading for that 21-year-old cliff. And like everybody else, you were trying to figure out what comes next.
Yes, I look at job, program, and school. We came from jobs that we don't like.
He didn't say anything he liked. And Shelley, you know, that's part of the challenge. There just are not enough good opportunities for people with different abilities. But my son here, you are a natural entrepreneur.
Yes, I am.
You didn't see a job. You wanted what you said.
I said, I want to create one. I want to make one.
There you go. If you can't find what you want, create it or make it.
And what did you tell me?
I told my dad, I'm not going to pay for him. And now he's going to start paying together.
You're going to make these together.
Let's go to business together, which is cool because I've got three sons, and this is one I can work with. But then, you know, John, like a lot of entrepreneurs, has a lot of ideas.
Yes, it did.
How do we know when you're thinking hard?
Smoke in my ear.
Smoke coming out of your ears.
So he had a lot of different ideas of what we could do. What was one of those ideas?
One of them is a food truck. I got an idea for the movie called Chef. What is the acronym? John Farrow. It's a neat movie about a father and son buying a food truck.
So you're out there listening. People love eating at a food truck, right? And it's all the rage, and you like the idea. We're thinking, what could we make? Where would we put the food truck? But we ran into a problem.
We can't cook.
Yeah, we can't cook. So.
Oh, well, I mean, you don't have to cook to have a food truck, but it is helpful.
It would help. Then, right before the U.S. Thanksgiving, in November of 2016, John, you had your eureka moment.
It is. I want to sell crazy socks. Why socks? It's fun. It's colorful. It's creative. You always let me be me. I want crazy socks my whole life.
Really?
We used to drive around looking for these socks. So okay. We figured this. If John loved them that much, well, the other people would too. And we could find those people. So we went the lean startup route. We didn't take a lot of time to prepare a business plan. We said, let's get something up and running and we'll see what happens.
Right.
So you already had the name.
I got a name, I took a website, and some ideas.
Right. So we built a website, a simple website. We got a little bit of inventory. The only marketing we did was to set up a Facebook page. And I would take out my cell phone, and we made videos. And who do you think was in those videos?
I am. I talk about socks. It's socks, socks, and more socks.
And what day did we open?
We opened on Friday, December 9th, 2016.
We didn't know.
I like that date. That was just right after my birthday.
Oh, there you go.
Nice.
Well, we didn't know what to expect. And we were very fortunate. We got what felt like a flood of orders on that first day. We got 42 orders.
Wow.
So, and most of them were local in the town of Huntington, which made sense. So how did we decide to deliver those first orders?
Our home deliveries, and we get red boxes. I put in a sock in the box. I put a digging note around and candy and bed out on the kids.
Yeah, we got these Hershey's Kisses. We would pour it in, fill up the box, loaded up the car, drove around.
Yeah.
You knocked on doors delivering socks.
I did.
How'd the customers respond?
Kind of responds. I love the socks. I went to take a picture with me, take a picture with a customer, picture with a box of socks, and I show on Sonia when I get it spread.
We had customers ordering again just to get John to come back to their door. I'd be sitting out in the car saying, you know, where is he? He's in there drinking hot chocolate. They're taking pictures and hanging out. And there were some nights, it was kind of fun, right?
Yeah.
It's after 10 o'clock at night, and John's knocking on doors.
Just shooting.
Just, John, with your socks.
Oh, my gosh.
But so at the end of that month, really 2 weeks, we had shipped 452 orders.
Oh, my gosh.
And we knew we had something. We didn't know how big it would grow. We didn't know how fast it would grow. But you know this. You learn by doing. So we learned one,
people want to buy socks. Two, people want to buy, people want to buy socks from me.
They wanted to buy from John. They related to John. They liked the fact that we had already pledged 5% of our earnings to the Special Olympics. They liked that personal touch of the thank you note and the candy. And it was something that caught us by surprise. We didn't anticipate this. We got a very emotional response from some people because they saw a young man with Down syndrome starting his own business.
Right.
And like I say, you learn by doing. So we learned that this young man.
He's an old man.
We could sell socks.
You're old, Dad.
Thank you. So that was just over 7 years ago. Today, how many different socks do we have?
We have 4,000 different kinds of socks. I am the world's largest sock store.
John owns the world's largest sock store. We're not outselling Walmart and Target, or at least not yet, but we've got more choice. We've shipped, 450,000 packages to 88 different countries.
Wow.
We've been able to create jobs. More than half of our colleagues have a differing ability. And our giving back program has now raised over $750,000 for our charity partners.
Oh, my gosh.
And as you like to say,
I should get started.
Just get started.
Just get started. Wow. So the question that is the biggest question of this whole discussion for me is, where do the ideas for the crazy sock designs come from?
A lot of places. you know, when we started, it was just the two of us, and not many people would sell to us. It's a bit of a catch-22. They wouldn't sell to us until we demonstrated that we had customers. Well, how can we show we have customers if you won't, you know, ship us supplies? Right. So John and I would sit and we sold other people's socks. We'd go through catalogs and what do we like and not like. And then we started making our own.
Yeah.
What were the first pair we made?
We made a Denitrum awareness sock.
Because, you know, again, you learn by doing. That January of 2017, one of the things we learned was nobody buys anything in January because they spent all their money at the holidays. So right. We're looking, you know, what can we do to improve sales? And that's when we discover that people wear crazy socks to celebrate World Down Syndrome Day. You would have thought we knew that ahead of time, but we're not that smart. So we went looking for a Down syndrome sock.
Yes.
And nobody made one. But that's where John the Entrepreneur kicked in.
My idea.
What do you say?
I said, I want a great one.
He designed the world's first Down syndrome themed sock.
Nice.
We called up the National Down Syndrome Society and said, we're going to sell this sock and we're going to give you money from every pair.
Oh, who are you?
He said, who are you?
right, I'm sure.
But that's, so in that way, you know, John started designing some socks. Now we have a team of designers. Everybody here contributes. Our customers all contribute. And it doesn't matter how many we have. People will always say, yeah, but what about this? You don't have one of giraffes playing xylophones. So, you know, we'll adapt to that.
That's, you have giraffes playing xylophones as one of your...
No, we don't. We don't.
But, oh, okay.
You know,
we've been asked
that. You know, we have a lot of animal socks, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Maybe a bison.
Bison socks? I don't know if we have any bison socks.
I guess I'm going to need to have it.
You.
I think you want bison socks.
You want some bison socks? Well, you're the boss. You're in charge.
You want to talk to Kristen?
Uh-oh. Kristen, he's coming to talk to you.
Oh. Well, one of the things that guides us is to this day, John has to approve everything we sell.
Okay.
John does not approve everything. So I know he came to me when he found some socks that had some profane language on them. And he was like, oh, we are not selling these socks.
Right.
And you're a tough taskmaster.
Yes, I am.
I appreciate that.
I really like.
What?
We carry a poop sock.
Well, yes. You have no trouble carrying poop socks.
Fart socks.
And fart socks. You can take the boy out of junior high, but you can't take the junior high out of the boy.
Right, right. So this superhero, is this the very first one, or what's the very first one?
The very first one is called the Down Syndrome Awareness Sock. But you designed that sock.
I designed those socks. Those socks are a Down Syndrome superhero sock. This is my design. I draw the picture by hand, and I'm making each of the socks. And I look closely on the in the sock. That's me as a superhero.
That's his picture on it.
Oh, that's fantastic! That's awesome.
And in fact, we made up a costume so John has his alter ego, Stockman, that shows up wearing that outfit.
Yes.
Yes. These are the ones Sean designed first.
Oh, these are cool. I love those. And yes. So I'm going to stop sharing. And unless you want me to go to somewhere specific on the website right now, otherwise I'll stop sharing. And if you want to come back and do anything on the website later, we can.
Okay.
All right. We'll stop sharing that for now. So a lot of the designs then do come from you, John. So that's that creative outlet that you talked about a few minutes ago. What is your favorite sock of all, if you can even think of that answer?
My favorite pair of socks. My yes. favorite pair of socks are those socks like a dinosaur superhero socks. I really yeah. like socks. Oh, I have really cool. We have those regular socks. Really, the best one, my favorite, is a cape.
There's a version of those that have a cape attached to them.
Oh, interesting. Oh. Okay, well, now I have to go back to the website because now I want to find those.
Let's see. If you do a search for, yeah, if you slide down there, you ought to be able to see them, I think.
Right? I think they have it.
Wow. We got a lot of Down syndrome team socks.
Yeah, we do. Oh,
There.
This one?
Yep.
Yeah. Those are a cape.
See, it's got the cape on it.
Oh, that's so cool.
That's my favorite pair of socks.
So, what socks do you wear every Saturday?
Oh, yeah. Every Saturday, I wear poop emoji socks.
Poop emoji socks. So, like, during the week, he's all business.
Oh, gotcha. Understood. I mean, hey, that's, you got to be that way as an entrepreneur, right?
Right.
Yeah. And so, all right. So those are your favorite pair of socks. And I understand why. I mean, those are pretty awesome socks. What does it feel like to have your face on probably hundreds of thousands, if not millions of pairs of feet around the world?
Your face. How does it feel to have your face on socks around the world that people are wearing?
Oh, I feel really great. I feel confident about that. I think I am an inspiration.
You think you're an inspiration?
I'm cute.
You're cute.
You're cute.
Don't go too far.
And you're humble. And you're very, very humble.
Yeah, I'm famous. I am too shy.
You're too shy. John, to his credit, works yeah. very hard, is very serious about this.
Yes, I do.
John does get recognized. So we're out at airports.
All the time. Streets.
People stop, John. Can I get my picture with you? And you're always good about it.
Yes. Right? I'm my favorite part.
Yeah.
Recognize. Yeah, my favorite part. It's a little funny. I don't recognize of the street in the city.
Oh, well, that's happened lots of times. Oh, you're talking about that time with the big car?
Big car.
We're crossing the street.
That's pretty funny.
We're crossing the street going actually see his older brother in an improv show. Down in the village, and as we're crossing, there's one of those big SUVs, oversized SUVs, barreling down the street, and now we got to scuttle to get across, and the guy slams the brakes on, and I'm like, I don't want to hassle you, and he opens the door, and out steps this mountain of a man, and I'm like, I don't want to hassle, and he points a finger. And he says, "You, John," and comes over. It's like, "Are you really deep, John? Crazy socks?"
I hear the auto. Give me a hug.
Oh my gosh!
Oh my god!
But we're fortunate like that. John's taught me a lot. But I compare it to my sister who.
Denise?
Yes, who would, how many sisters I got? Who would tell you, don't take my photograph. I don't look good in photographs. Mm-hmm. And if you go to take her picture, she scrunches up her face and puts her hands up. And she's right. She doesn't look good in photographs because she's always making a face. If you ask John, can I take your picture? Sure. big smile, and he's always looking great for it.
Yeah, I love taking pictures. My favorite in my day, I love taking pictures.
Yeah, you like a lot of parts of your day.
I do. I really do.
Well, that makes the day a lot better when you like most of it.
This is so. This is so.
Yes.
We're very fortunate to get to do what we do.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And so you've been in business for a little over 7 years. You have sold over 450,000 pairs of socks. Is that what you said?
They're orders. So
orders.
Each order will have, you know, 4 to 5 pairs of socks, depending on what somebody orders. Yeah.
Okay. So you literally could have 1 million pairs of socks.
Yeah. Out. Yeah. We've got, you know, probably a couple million out there.
Wow.
All because John said we should sell socks.
I did.
But we'll tell you, we're a couple knuckleheads selling socks. But all we want to do
is change the world. Change the world.
And it's, absolutely.
And it's, let's show what's possible. Let's show what people with different abilities can do. Let's show that, you know, what a purpose-driven business can do. Let's show what a business built on love can do. So much of what we do is let's show what people with different abilities can do. That's at the core of what we do every day. We start with John.
Yes.
You have Down syndrome?
Yes, I am. I have Down syndrome. Down syndrome never hold me back.
That's awesome.
We don't put John in the back.
Nope.
He's the face of the business.
Yes, I am.
More than half of our colleagues have a differing ability. And that's not enough. We want to show the world. So we create content. We host tours. We've had more than 2,000 people come through our operations. And now we, you know, since the pandemic, we've done them virtually. So we've had students from around the world. Had work groups. We have work groups that come in from high schools and social service agencies.
Yeah.
We've had over 1,000 people participate in that program. And it's really important for that special education student to see somebody who looks like them working and running a business. It gives them hope. It encourages them. We do a lot of speaking engagements. So we travel the country. Well, last week we were in Indiana.
Indiana,
The week before that, we're in Washington. Next week we're in Massachusetts, and then Maryland, and then Washington State. And it's all to show, look what people can do. I mean, look at this.
Right.
Shelley, you have us on your podcast. How cool is that?
It's amazing.
And because we get these opportunities, it creates an obligation on our part to change the world, you know, to speak up. So, excuse me, we do a lot of advocacy work, meeting with elected officials. Because if we have the opportunity, if they're going to listen to us, then we've got to speak up.
Right.
And you know, a few weeks ago, Congressman Lallana, we're here in New York, he came for a visit. He was going to spend a half an hour. He spent an hour and a half. And we got to walk him through some really serious legislation, which he's now signed on to support. And he joined the Down Syndrome Caucus, Congressional Caucus. You know, here's an anecdote on that, which I think shows what it's like. A few years ago, we were down in Capitol Hill, and a customer from Houston called the office and said, you know, my mother works on Capitol Hill, and she's a big fan of John's. Could she meet John? And our colleague said, well, here's Mark's cell phone number.
Yes.
Have your mom text her contact information. Well, who was mom?
Nancy Pelosi.
Nancy Pelosi. Now, we're in a bad way in this country. Too often, if we disagree with someone, we vilify them. We tear them down. we lose that sense of humanity. I don't care where you are on the political spectrum. Nancy Pelosi is an 80-year-old Italian grandmother. We go in to meet her, and she's so warm and nice to John. And you know how it is. As a parent, we always watch, how does somebody else treat our children?
Yeah,
right.
And she takes out pictures of her and former President Bush, George H.W. Bush, because John had somewhat famously become sock buddies with the former president.
Yes.
They used to write letters back and forth and exchange socks.
Oh, wow.
So then we take photographs, and it's all warm and lovely. But you see, now we have that opportunity. So it's, but Ms. Pelosi, we do have to talk to you about repealing Section 14C of the Fair Labor Standards Act of 1938 that allows employers to pay people with a disability as little as 5 cents an hour. And we cannot stand for that. Because you see, if we get that opportunity, we've got to speak up.
Absolutely.
And that's...
that's fantastic.
That's much of what drives us. It's, you know, we're fortunate with our Giving Back program. As we're recording this, it's April 2nd, so it's Autism Awareness Day. We sponsor an Autism Can Do scholarship. And when we're done with this podcast, we're going to do a Facebook Live to announce the winners. Three winners, a $5,000 scholarship is the top prize for somebody on the spectrum to be able to advance their education. Pretty cool, right?
It's so cool.
That is very exciting. And thanks for, I mean, you didn't announce the winners, but thanks for announcing that you're going to announce the winners here. So make sure, unfortunately, for anyone watching in the replay, you're going to miss the live of who wins, but you can go back to their Facebook page and find out who wins this contest that they've had of these scholarships.
Well, $5,000
is the top prize.
We could break some news here. We could tell you who the three winners are.
Well, that's completely up to you. I don't know if that would, I mean, I would be honored if you would do that, but cool. I don't want to mess up anything that you
have. It's right in line with what you're doing. Three winners, Luxon Ashbourne from Maplewood, New Jersey is the first place winner.
Oh, congratulations.
To enter, you have to design a pair of socks. So he designed, and you don't have to be a professional graphic artist. He designed socks, Reach for the Stars. They're really beautiful. And we're going to make those socks and make him a, you know, a famous sock designer. So that was first place. Second place, Emrys Alfaro Hagen of Olympia, Washington, who designed tic-tac-toe socks, which are very cool. And third place, or second runner-up, Elise Miller of Farmington Hills, Michigan, with your perfect socks.
You are perfect.
Perfect. With pear trees.
So cute.
And all three will be using their scholarship money to advance their studies. Luxon is at Bloomfield College in New Jersey. Emrys attends University of Washington at Tacoma. And Elise is at University of Toledo's Honors College, where she's working on a degree in disability studies.
Oh, that's fantastic. Well, congratulations to all three winners. And thank you so much for announcing the winners here. And then, of course, on your live. And that brings up a really great point, Mark, is the fact that what you're doing and what I'm doing, the reason this is called hashtag no limits, I said it at the beginning, is because people in society have said others are only going to reach a certain level. And we need to change that. Because there are thousands, if not millions, honestly, I think it's millions of people that society has placed those limits upon. And when I say place those limits, it's a thought process. it's, you know, oh, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to achieve a certain thing. And so how they're treating the people that they've placed those limits upon kind of keeps that ceiling low.
And if you, I learned this, you learn this in lots of ways. I've learned this when I first got out of college and worked as a teacher. I've learned it as a manager. I've learned it as a coach. I've learned it as a parent. If you set expectations low, people will live down to them. If you set them unrealistically high, people will give up. You want it to be just outside the fingertips. But you know, one of our lines, my lines, is never be blinded by a person's limitations. Be awed by their possibilities.
Oh, you know, I love that.
I watch my buddy here and all the things he can accomplish. You know, the other day I read an article, 7 traits of truly intelligent people. And as I'm reading this, I'm like, let me check off the box because he hits every single one.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
And we want to walk that walk here at in our business of hiring people with different abilities. If you got to know us, if you got to know John, you'd find out that, you know, you're a very nice guy.
Yeah.
I am not.
I doubt that.
If you're going to work here, you have to produce. Mm-hmm. We don't give jobs to anybody. Everybody who works here has earned that job. And that's part of the dignity. They know they deserve to be here. And there are no hothouse flowers. We don't baby people. We treat treat people like humans.
Right.
Yeah.
So just before I forget, I just had an idea for a pair of socks.
Okay.
So can I share that idea with you now?
Let's hear it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to show it to you, actually, because I designed a t-shirt and I have this t-shirt on. And so the t-shirt says, we know hashtag no limits. And then there's the caterpillar and all the different butterflies. And it says the saying that I said at the beginning, we know who we are, but not who we'll be. And I think that might be a nice design for you to have is something about hashtag no limits on there.
That's a beautiful idea. Let me take it to the team and we'll see, right?
Yes.
I always have that caution because, you know, John and I come up with a lot of ideas. Mm-hmm. Not all of them are good ideas.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, I'm pitching it, but I'm kind of not pitching it at the same time. I would completely understand if it's not something that ends up in the line, but it's just because I did design this for the t-shirt and I have had many people because of the concept behind it that have really
beautiful. And I love the fact that you tie it back to Ophelia and Shakespeare. That's wonderful.
Yeah. Thank you. So the second thing I wanted to say is, so when you were going through school, John, how was school for you?
My school?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Did you like school? Was it good? Did you learn?
I learned in school. I studied life skills. Life skills is living independent. There are several love skills. Mm-hmm. I show some skills we can learn. Like I had to cook. I had to make my own laundry. And learn about transportation. Good community, something like that, and it's a really good learning experience. And I took that opportunity.
We were very fortunate in many ways. I do admission interviews in my undergraduate school. And one of the questions I'll ask the high school students, and they all get spooked, is, you know, tell me about a great teacher you had. Why, what made that person a great teacher? But then I'll ask the converse, tell me about a lousy teacher you had. What made that person a lousy teacher? Oh, these applicants that get spooked, they think it's some sort of trick question. But if you think of your own experience going through, you know, grade school, high school, you had some terrible teachers.
Absolutely.
John did not. He had this run of just amazing teachers. And then it was something my wife and I learned very early on. You know, you're the master IEP person. We worked with the teachers, so we were a team. There were things they knew we didn't know. And there were things that we knew they're not going to know. And we had to share. And very early on, this came to a difficult crossroads for us. John started school in an inclusion classroom.
Okay.
And early on in first grade, the teachers came and said, you know, we don't think this is the right place for John. We should move him into a 12-1. They were using the regulatory name, a 12-1-1 classroom. And my wife, physically, we're at this meeting. You could see her change, like literally her back get up. You don't want to call my bride. But we listened, and the rationale was, John knows what's going on. He knows he's doing different work with everybody else. He knows he's not keeping up. And it's not helping him. That he could go in this other classroom and really thrive. And he did. And they pushed him, which we encouraged. Mm-hmm. And that was a really good decision. And it was also, it really set the tone for us working together and collaborating. And John really benefited from that. And as he got on in high school, you would attend your IEP meetings, right?
Yeah.
Because we're big believers in with us, not for us.
Right,
correct. You know,
John have an input. It can be challenging sometimes. But I don't think this just applies to John. We have three. John's the youngest of three boys. As a parent, we always tried to promote their independence, which is challenging because that means you have to let your child fail.
Right.
You have to let them fall down.
Yes.
But that's how we learn.
Yep.
But that can be hard, and you got to let them push envelopes. So, I can share two easy ones with my buddy here. Back in the summer of 2017,
right,
we participated in a business accelerator program called Mass Challenge up in Boston.
Okay.
And we go up there 2 days a week. We drive up and get there in the middle of the night, spend 2 days, drive back. Well, on this one day, John had a doctor's appointment here in New York. But we had to be together in Boston that evening. And I had to be up there that morning. What were we going to do?
Right.
How did you get to Boston?
I took a train.
John rode the Amtrak. Of course, John could ride that by himself, right? Or more recently, John is on the board of the National Down Syndrome Society. They were having a board meeting in D.C., actually, just outside of Washington, D.C. And I was already going to be down there for something else. So it was like, I got to fly home or drive home and then come back. With John, I don't want to have to do that. John's like, no, you don't have to, Dad. I can fly by myself. Well, of course he could. Now, this was hard for my wife. She knew intellectually he could, but boy, her heart was in her mouth. Oh, gosh. But you took the Uber by yourself to the airport?
Yes.
You flew? I met you at the airport down in D.C.?
Yeah.
It was great. Of course he could do that.
But right.
You got to let him, you got to push and let him go.
Yeah. And those are, I mean, two great examples of limits that were busted through, because I can guarantee you that there are people who might be listening, but probably are not listening, who would not have thought that that was possible or a good idea.
Well, we had something once, this was before we started this business. So my wife and I worked together, have an office in our little village. And John would come over after school. The school bus would drop him off there. And he had jobs in the office. You went to the post office every day. You took care of the shredding. And he would run errands for us. So one day, he's off running some errands in the village. And I get a phone call from the head of special education. What's up? Mark, we had a complaint. We had a parent call and complain because they saw John walking around the village by himself. And they called up to say, someone better talk to those cronins. You can't be doing this. Now, luckily, we were on the same page as the head of special education, who explained to that parent who called to complain, this is exactly what we are trying to do. We want our children to live independently, to be able to make decisions on their own, to be able to go out on their own. So stop calling and complaining.
Good. And yeah, I mean, again, it's about, you know, you're changing the world one pair of socks at a time. I'm trying to change the world one IEP at a time. And our goal, besides changing the world, is, I mean, we're trying to do that because of that. We all have abilities. We all have different levels of abilities. And to the more exposure, I think, and perspective opportunities to change that we have, then we have a better opportunity to change those perspectives.
I watched my buddy here. We've been fortunate. We've testified twice before the U.S. Congress. We have to add nowadays, we were not subpoenaed. the second time, we were on a panel, and one of the people testifying was a professor from the University of Minnesota. And she was very nervous. She's all flustered. Her papers are flustered. And John walked over, leaned over, and just patted her on the back and said, it's okay. You can do this. Just watch what I do. Right?
Yeah.
Because he knew he could do that. He could help her out.
Right.
Don't give me these false expectations of, oh, you don't know what you're doing. Right, but
get that.
Yeah, that's so cool. And I will be honest, I think if I was testifying in front of Congress, I would be nervous as well. So if that ever happens, John, I'm going to call you up and have you be my support person and walk me through how to do it. Because I really do think that would be, I speak in front of people all the time, but speaking in front of Congress, I think that would be something a little bit different.
There was a good occasion once. John was invited to introduce the New York Knicks at Madison Square Garden.
And, oh, wow.
We get to go early. We're hanging courtside before anybody's in the arena. And the different announcers are out. And actually, you're in Southern Illinois. One of the more famous Salukis comes out. Walt Frazier, who was a childhood hero of mine. And I get to meet Walt Frazier. But one of the announcers pulls John aside and is trying to give him advice on how not to be nervous, not to be anxious. And I didn't really have the heart to tell him, don't worry about it, Pat. The time came. You remember this?
I do.
Time comes. John stands center court, Madison Square Garden, 22,000 people in the stands. All the lights get turned off, and they put a spotlight on him. And you step up, and you killed. Drop the mic, huh?
Yes.
Of course you did. I mean, why wouldn't you? It's like you were born to do that.
Yes. Well, there's an educational theorist, Harvard, what's his name? Gardner, Howard Gardner.
Howard Gardner. Multiple intelligences.
Multiple intelligences, right? Mm-hmm. And what? He started off by identifying seven.
Yes.
And he does profiles and bar charts. Mm-hmm. Well, I think of John as having like 400 distinct intelligences. And some of them, like a two-year-old, like John cannot do abstractions. If you love, you know, you say you love math.
Yeah.
But you can't really do math in your head.
No, I know.
And he'll tell you, I don't do metaphors.
Okay.
But there are other things John is off the charts on. Mm-hmm. Right? And so let's not focus on the things he can't do. You know, the exactly. organization, the focus, the discipline, the empathy, the social intelligence. Oh, my gosh.
Yep.
The level of curiosity. I've increasingly come to believe that curiosity is truly the mark of the wise mind. The level of curiosity that John displays and the hunger to learn, it's amazing.
That's fantastic. Yeah, I'm a huge, huge fan of Howard Gardner, and he's actually someone that I speak about. I do a session on understanding behaviors, and I use his multiple intelligences idea because we get stuck. Most of the people I speak to are educators, but I do speak to other groups. And when I'm speaking to the educators, because I am a former teacher, I understand we get stuck thinking about academics and how important academics are, and that, you know, everybody has to know their math and their science and their social studies and their English, but there's so many other parts of life. Once you're outside of that window of school, you don't, I mean, the average person isn't accessing that knowledge that you've gotten for the last 13 years.
Well, I want to be careful because, We've always had a strain in the U.S. in our culture of an anti-intellectualism, and which I think is problematic. I spent a lot of time in school and loved going to school, but there's only so much you can learn, and particularly up through high school. You know, mm-hmm. if you work with somebody else, we tend to call that cheating. Right. But outside of school, you do almost nothing alone. Right. Everything is done in concert with others. And, yeah. you know I have conversations with people at the collegiate level. Of, you know, now there's lots of people, what is it worth going to college? Do you go to college? Oh, I can just take an online course and develop a skill. And you can't. And I've done that. But I'm still a believer in the liberal arts of go learn how to be smart. Go learn how to frame a problem. Go learn how to communicate, you know, how to read and how to communicate. Tell people I spent much of my career in the healthcare field. Much of what I've done both as an entrepreneur, but in various roles I've had, has involved reading legislation and regulation and contracts. And somebody asked me once, where did you learn that? I said, oh, I learned it in high school and then college, you know, particularly in college with an English professor I had, Bob Corning, who taught close reading of poems. It's the same skill set. Learn how to read the words on the page. It may seem simple, but people don't. And so him teaching me how to read Keats and Wordsworth enabled me then to read contracts and regulations.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. And not that the academics aren't important. I hope that isn't what there are so many other intelligences.
Yes.
And that, you know, we just because someone isn't doing well in math when they're 12 or 15 or younger or older, doesn't mean they're not going to be successful doing something that involves math.
Well, we do a lot of, we're able to do a lot of speaking engagements. One of the types of audiences we speak with are parents, teachers, aides, self-advocates. And we're always trying to share encouragement and hope with them. And one of the things we point out, you know, John, we talk about a lot of the negativity that we got when John was first born and many of the mm-hmm. medical challenges he faced. Mm-hmm. But preschool, John couldn't talk. John learned to communicate with sign language. And yet here he is a professional speaker.
Right.
Don't tell me about limits.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I love the saying from Ophelia, because none of us know when we're 5 or 6 years old, or even when we're 18 or 20, what we're going to be like when we're in our 30s.
How could you know? And
right,
we're not static beings.
Yes.
You know, it's. A few years back, was at a wedding, a friend of mine's son, and we took a nice photo of a group of us, and we've been friends since high school. And I'm looking at this photo, and I'm thinking, you know, when we were in high school, with one exception, nobody was betting on any of us. We were in trouble. We were knocking about. And now I look at that photo. One guy's a cardiothoracic surgeon running a network of cancer hospitals. Another guy's a lawyer who owns half of the town of a town in Pennsylvania. Another guy's an executive at the American Water Company. Another guy is the chief operating officer for, I think, the second largest hospital in Long Island. And then I don't know what you say about me. I'm looking at that crowd thinking nobody was expecting this.
Right.
And look at the impact that these guys have had.
Yep, absolutely.
Right? And I want to show that picture to people in high school and their parents. Say, just relax. It's going to be okay. It's going to be okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So I've put up on the screen all the different, well, not all the different ways, because my box wouldn't let me include, I think you had one other way to connect with you, but we've got your website, you're on Facebook, you're on Twitter, LinkedIn. And there were, I think the second one is the one that didn't, have enough character space.
If you look for John's Crazy Socks, we're on every platform. I think you got 70,000 followers now on TikTok.
Yeah.
And the Chinese government is watching you.
and they're probably learning if they're watching you. They should be, at least.
If there's a way that we can help people, like on LinkedIn, I think I'm the only Mark X Cronin on LinkedIn.
Okay.
If we can help people, we'd love to be able to do that.
That's awesome.
What do you say are the keys to happiness?
Gratitude, Father.
Right. It may sound like a cliche, but the more we do for others, the better off we are.
Absolutely. I agree with that. 100%. Do I agree? Yeah. Well, guys, it's time to wrap up. I have so appreciated getting to know each of you a little bit today, and for you sharing your story with me. I want to make sure that if there was anything that you wanted to speak about today and we haven't touched on it already, that now is that opportunity for you to do so.
You want to offer some advice, people?
Yes.
To people?
Follow your heart, follow your dreams, work hard, so you can do.
Pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. Any last words from Dad?
No. Just believe. Go out and believe. You know. And yeah. Do it. Take action.
Yep. Absolutely. We can change the world. And we exactly change the world by one person at a time. And so one of the things that my daughter absolutely loves, socks. And I see that you have a sock of the month club. I am very seriously going to be looking into that to send to my daughter. She's 20, almost 25. And she has always had a sock drawer that is overflowing. So, we will be looking into, you know, possibly going a little cheaper route for us and getting her ones every month. Fran, thank you so much for joining in your comments. And here's this last comment from Fran. Thank you for believing in yourself and for doing. I so appreciate you guys being here with us today. And anybody in the replay, if you have any questions, make sure you put those in the chat or you reach out to me directly. Or as you saw, there were several ways to reach out to John and Mark from John's Crazy Socks. And until next time, bye-bye.
Hey, parents and teachers, are you tired of IEP meetings that feel like a battle? Let's put an end to the tension and create a collaborative, calm, and respectful environment together. Shelly Kino, your go-to IEP consultant, can transform your meetings into positive and productive experiences. With Shelly Kino, your child is her top priority, your voice is heard, and you become confident. Shelly Kino is making the world better for all, one IEP at a time. Visit www.shellykino.com for more information and set up your free 20-minute consultation today. That's shellykino.com, SHELLEYKENOW.